Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today, talking Sue and Settle with Ethan Lane. Back with Ethan in just a moment. Well, cattle producers, Superior Livestock is pleased to present Corn Belt Classic 21. It happens Wednesday and Thursday, June 12th and 13th, broadcast live from the Ameristar Hotel and Casino, Council Bluffs, Iowa. You'll be able to see it on SLA TV, Dish Network, Channel 997, and on SuperiorClickToBid.com. 46,300 head to be sold on Wednesday and Thursday, including 550 Holsteins that'll lead the sale off. 11,400 yearling steers, 5,800 yearling heifers, 8,700 weaned calves, and over 19,000 calves on cows, along with 600 bred stock. If you'd like to know details of when an estimated time will sell, or to preview the video on a specific lot, visit the website superiorlivestock.com. Or as always, you can call 800-422-2117. Remember, at Superior Livestock, we bring the market to you. Sue and settle is a tactic that environmental groups have used to coerce government agencies to get what they want when it comes to various regulations. Ethan Lang with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says he believes we may be ending the era of sue and settle.
It's not dead, but it may be on life support. This administration has been really proactive on the sue and settle issue. We have fought for at least 10 years to try to get some transparency on the use of EJIA funds. And, you know, the Equal Access to Justice Act is one of the avenues that these groups use to pay the bills. Some of them put it out in their annual report that 30 or 40% of their annual budget comes from government awards. So this administration, without any nod from Congress, said, you know what? We're going to instruct our agencies to put a public database up of all of those payouts under the Equal Access to Justice Act. And now Congress has finally weighed in that lands package that was passed a few months ago. And in a piece of legislation in that package, they went ahead and agreed and said, okay, not only that, but we are going to have you put up a public database and hold comment periods so that the public can weigh in on whether a settlement makes sense. Now, whether or not the government decides to listen to those public comments or not, obviously that's still up to them to make the best decision as a defendant in those cases. But we're starting to get a little bit of sunshine on these decisions, because at the end of the day, that's what's been missing from this equation. If they're behind closed doors, if it's the path of least resistance, if they think they can do it and sort of avoid the pain, they're going to do that. And so allowing the public in so they can see what these negotiations look like when, you know, the Center for Biological Diversity has a gun to the government's head, or Western Watersheds Project, or the Wild Earth Guardians, the public should know that that's the value proposition the government's having to weigh there, not what's best for the species on the ground. So we give a lot of credit to the administration for their work on this, and we hope they kind of keep the pedal to the metal and keep the pressure on, because the result is going to be a better functioning system for everybody.
Now, circling back around to the lesser prairie chicken and the fact that Fish and Wildlife Service is once again looking at whether or not it needs to be listed or not. Last time it was listed as threatened, not endangered.
So that's a really important distinction. They found the species threatened, not endangered last time. And this is where this gets really interesting, and it goes back to my comment earlier about the federal rulemaking on ESA in general. The third of those three rules specifically deals with what they call the 4D rule under the Endangered Species Act. Section 4D of ESA says full endangered protections are extended to every species listed as threatened unless the service goes in and says otherwise. So that means if they list the lesser prairie chicken as threatened rather than endangered, which should be a half step, they still get the full suite of protections and restrictions unless they back it off. So that's where you get what they call a 4D exemption, which is what they tried to do last time. So they could do that again. They could wait for this new final rule to come out, which we expect to remove that blanket 4D exemption or extension, which would create a little bit of room for them to say, yes, it's threatened, not endangered, and now we have a little more flexibility under that to say whether or not that's going to include any federal-level restrictions or whether we're just kind of putting it on our watch list. And you know, we don't know how they'll proceed with that, but the national rulemaking they're doing on ESA as a whole will have influence on what options are available to them as they go through the lesser prairie chicken listing process. But looking at it just purely through the lens of the current law, we definitely have concerns that if this is not prosecuted properly, we could end up with an endangered listing. And that's not something that's going to be good for agriculture. It's not going to be good for oil and gas. It's not going to be good for wind or anybody else. So it's really important that we make that case and help people understand that this species is on the rebound.
Ethan Lane with NCBA. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Midwest Farm Shows produces both the Oklahoma City Farm Show held in April and the Tulsa Farm Show in December. This year, the 26th annual Tulsa Farm Show will be held December 12th, 13th, and 14th at River Spirit Expo on the Tulsa State Fairground. As Oklahoma's largest indoor farm show with over 400,000 square feet of exhibits, the Tulsa Farm Show is a great place to show off your product or service to the public and farm and ranch community. For more information, call 507-437-7752. Midwest Farm Shows, a proud sponsor of the Ron Hayes Daily Farm and Ranch email.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have yourself a great day, everybody. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.